Welcome back to Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, A, and we have a very packed show for you today.
Hey, everyone. We are looking at some massive shifts in the global AI landscape today, plus a cyber attack that is practically unprecedented in its scope and damage.
Exactly. An entire country's real estate market just ground to a halt because a threat actor deleted the central national database. And they deleted the backups, too.
It is an absolute nightmare scenario for any IT administrator, let alone a national government managing critical infrastructure.
We will also get into what is happening with open-weight AI models and why some American tech executives are getting incredibly defensive about international competition.
It's a fascinating geopolitical shift. Let's get right into it. We've spent the last few episodes tracking the release of massive new AI models, particularly Moonshot AI's Kimi K3 and Alibaba's Quan 3.8. But today, we need to look at the broader strategic picture, because the gap between US and Chinese frontier models is evaporating. It really is. Historically, the performance gap between top Chinese models and US frontier systems was estimated to be around 6 to 9 months. According to recent industry analysis, that gap has narrowed to a matter of weeks.
And it's not just about catching up in capability. It's about the distribution strategy. U.S. companies are largely maintaining closed, proprietary models. You pay for API access, and you operate inside their walled garden. Chinese labs are aggressively pursuing an open-weight strategy.
Right. Look at Kimi K3. It's a 2.8 trillion parameter model released just a few days ago in mid-July. It is ranking near top U.S. models like Claude Fable 5 and OpenAI's GPT 5.6 Sol on leaderboards like Artificial Analysis and Arena AI. But because it's open weights, it costs significantly less per task to run.
This approach is gaining massive traction, especially in the global south and among independent developers who prioritize flexibility and cost. And it's clearly striking a nerve in Silicon Valley. Dean Ball, OpenAI's head of strategy, recently went on record with some very sharp criticism.
He did. He publicly called the open weight strategy AI communism and labeled it decelerationist. Those are heavily loaded terms, and they indicate that the proprietary labs are feeling genuine pressure from this commoditization of the model layer.
Calling it AI communism is fascinating rhetorical framing. If the underlying model becomes a free or cheap commodity, the economic value doesn't accrue to the company that trained it. The value shifts up the stack to the distribution platforms, companies like Alibaba or ByteDance.
And Alibaba is pushing this on the hardware front, too. Their T-Head unit recently open-sourced the software stack for their Zenwu AI chips. That is a direct challenge to NVIDIA's CUDA ecosystem, which has been the ultimate moat in AI development.
That's a critical point. If you can break the CUDA lock-in by offering an open software stack for alternative silicon, you fundamentally change the hardware economics. It makes you wonder about the effectiveness of U.S. export controls on advanced chips.
There's a strong argument that those export controls, which were designed to restrict access to frontier capabilities, inadvertently accelerated China's adoption of open source alternatives. It created a vacuum, and Chinese labs are more than eager to fill it by providing highly capable, accessible tools.
We should add a caveat, though. To what extent is the open source label just a strategic marketing tool here? These are open weights. They are not providing the training data or the training code. It's not truly open source in the traditional software sense.
That's true. It's a strategic release of the final artifact. But for a developer who just wants to build an application, having free access to a 2.8 trillion parameter model that goes toe-to-toe with GPT 5.6 is functionally all that matters.
And the national security risks are still a major part of the conversation in the U.S. Critics argue that proliferating these weights globally allows bad actors to generate disinformation or develop cyber weapons without the safety guardrails that a centralized API provider can enforce.
Which is exactly why OpenAI's leadership is using terms like decelerationist. They are arguing that giving away the keys to the kingdom slows down the ability to safely manage the transition to more advanced AI. But the market seems to be speaking, and right now, the open weights approach is winning significant global market share.
It's a classic innovator's dilemma applied to geopolitics. The proprietary labs have the revenue and the early lead, but the open weight strategy is systematically undermining their pricing power and their platform lock-in.
Let's pivot to a major cybersecurity story that highlights the extreme fragility of digital government infrastructure. On July 14th, Romania's National Agency for Cadastre and Real Estate Advertising, known as ANCPI, suffered a devastating cyber attack.
This wasn't just a data breach. The attacker completely disabled the agency's central eTERA platform. This is the definitive digital record that underpins all property ownership, mortgages, and real estate transactions in the country.
The immediate impact was staggering. National real estate transactions essentially halted. Notaries couldn't verify who owned a piece of land. Citizens couldn't register new sales. The entire property market was paralyzed.
The threat actor behind this goes by the name Byte to Breach. And the most alarming detail here is their methodology. They didn't use some highly sophisticated state-sponsored zero-day exploit. They reportedly gained access using valid credentials.
Right. They logged in, mapped the internal systems, and attempted to extort the agency. When that extortion attempt failed, Byte to Breach didn't just leak the data, they wiped it. And crucially, they wiped the backups as well.
Which is the ultimate failure of backup architecture. If the same compromised credentials that grant access to the primary database also grant access to delete the backups, you don't actually have a backup system. You just have a second copy waiting to be deleted.
ANCPI officials have called this the most serious attack in the agency's history. They have stated that core legal and technical databases were not completely compromised, and they are currently in the process of rebuilding the network from scratch.
Rebuilding from scratch is a massive undertaking. And even if they do have some isolated cold storage data to pull from, the downtime alone creates a legal nightmare. What happens to property contracts that were signed on July 13th but hadn't been processed in the system yet?
It creates a massive backlog and a crisis of public trust. How can citizens be absolutely certain of the integrity of the restored data? Once a registry like this is breached and wiped, proving that nobody altered ownership records before the deletion is incredibly difficult.
And this isn't an isolated incident for this particular attacker. Byte to Breach has been linked to other recent incidents, including a breach at the Latvian state enterprise, LVM. They are actively targeting European state infrastructure.
It really exposes a systemic failure in how government agencies manage internal access. Using valid credentials means someone was phished or a password was reused and leaked elsewhere. Basic identity and access management protocols failed here.
It's a hard lesson in the necessity of air-gapped backups. Critical national registries cannot be treated like standard enterprise IT. If a single point of failure can wipe the definitive record of land ownership for an entire country, the architecture is fundamentally broken.
We will have to see how long it takes Romania to fully restore the eTERA platform and clear the transaction backlog. But it serves as a stark warning to every other national government digitizing their foundational records.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up today's show.
Sounds good. What's first in the roundup?
Over on the Claude Code GitHub, there's a fascinating new feature request to allow distributed agent teams to coordinate across multiple machines over a local area network.
Right now, agent teams, which rolled out in version 2.132, use a local mailbox at the .cloud/teams directory. It relies entirely on local JSON files, so it's stuck on a single host machine.
Moving this to a network-aware architecture would let developers throw multiple physical machines at massive refactoring tasks, though it definitely complicates their current file-locking approach to prevent race conditions.
Speaking of Claude Code, users are begging for a concise mode to reduce the massive walls of text the agent generates in the terminal.
The tool is designed to explain its reasoning, which is great for transparency, but power users are finding it eats up tokens and clutters the screen. It really highlights the tricky balance between agentic visibility and a clean developer experience.
On the policy front, the European Commission is finalizing a deal with the U.S. that would require EU member states to share sensitive national biometric databases to maintain visa-free travel. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security mandated this back in 2022. It sets up a massive clash between strict GDPR privacy rights in Europe and U.S. security demands, and they are racing toward a deadline to conclude these agreements by December 31, 2026.
A. Finally, a minimalist browser game called Airport Simulator has been tearing up Hacker News, crossing 400 points this week. It's hosted at airport.uppinen.com. You manage colorful aircraft and runways in a high-endurance loop. It's a great example of these lightweight, highly addictive web games making a comeback, possibly with the help of modern AI coding agents.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of NARcast Tech Briefing.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check the show notes for links to all the stories and research we covered today.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the latest news in AI, space, and tech. Until then, stay curious.
See you next time.